Good morning. We're continuing to look at the theme of who are we as a church at this time. Last week, Stephen Hibbard looked at a building for God to dwell in. And the week before that, Dave McCarthy, a flock that follows the shepherd. We now move on to a branch that bears fruit. I'd like to look at the reading which Phyllis read for us and break it into two parts. The first, look at what does this tell us about the character of God? And secondly, how do we apply that to our lives? Now, I'm often guilty of not reading a passage in context that is written. So it is easy to find verses these days on search engines like Bible Gateway and not place them where they appear in the timeline of the Bible or the Gospels. The context here is the Last Supper. Jesus has broken the bread and shared the wine with his disciples. He knows that this is going to be the last time with them before he stands trial. He has already predicted Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial. He now starts to share with his select band of disciples, his closest followers, those he's entrusting to grow the kingdom, the truths about that kingdom that he needs them to hear. He sets the scene for this analogy with the statement, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Now, Jesus many times before had used what he saw around him as examples to illustrate his messages. Even though he was the son of the carpenter, he often used farming and food references. Here he's just shared the bread and the wine, and he knows that his disciples will all have an understanding of vines and vineyards. In biblical times, landowners would rent out their vineyards to local families who would tend the vines and harvest the grapes. So there is a good chance that either Jesus or some of his disciples had experience working in vineyards. So what is Jesus saying here? He says he is the vine and that God is the gardener. God is the one who tends the vine and the one who wants the branches of the vine to be fruitful. How God tends the vine gives us an important insight into God's character. He explains that God will do three things. One, he lifts up every branch that bears no fruit. Two, he prunes the branch that does bear fruit. And three, he picks up the withered branch and throws that in the fire. Now, if anyone's paying attention to what I've just said, then you'll notice that I've changed what appears to be said in verse 2. In preparation for this talk, I did read through a few commentaries on John 15. The Greek translation of these first three verses uses the words "areo" and "kathareo." Now, these words are verbs. "Areo" is often translated as "cuts off," and "kathareo" is translated as "prunes" or "cleanses." The fact that these words sound similar is not coincidental, and either was a clever pun. Now, this is where I got a little convoluted. I so wanted to think that as Jesus was sitting with his disciples, he would throw in a few puns, a few dad jokes, just to keep the disciples on their toes. However, Jesus probably spoke Aramaic to his disciples, so maybe it was John who liked a pun. But more likely, when John was translating this into Greek, he used these words that sounded similar, "areo" and "kathareo," so they would be easily remembered, so that when his gospel was read aloud or memorized and repeated, then these phrases were like poetry that could be easier to recall. Now back to the passage. Many translations have the word "areo" translated as "cuts off," as I said, and the word "kathareo" as "prunes" or "cleanses." However, there is a different translation of the word "areo" that is possible, and I believe more in keeping with the character of God. Can also be translated as "lifts up." So why do I think it could mean "lifts up"? Well, vines in first century Israel would have been growing along a trellis in rows. In the springtime, when there was new growth, the gardener would tend the soil and walk along the trellis inspecting his vines. And at this point, he would see new branches, branches that were yet to bear fruit. But rather than cut these off, the gardener would carefully and lovingly recognise their potential. This new growth was often growing away from the trellis and consequently lying on the ground. Left here, it would possibly put down its own roots and become a separate vine, and any fruit that it produced would be lying on the ground, where it would easily rot or become mouldy. Seeing these branches, the gardener would carefully aereo, or gently lift them up. By lifting up these branches, he would weave and train them into the trellis, so they would be out of the mud, exposed to the goodness of the sunshine, and gently aired in the breeze to stop the fruit from growing rotten in the damp soil. The second action the gardener takes, though, is in the second part of verse 2. Here the gardener inspects the branch that does bear fruit. Now the gardener knows that for the branch to bear the best yield, it must be pruned. The word kathario. Now, for those of you who know me, you will know that I'm no gardener. But the person who owned our house before us was. And they had planted a rose at our front door, which climbed the wall. Now, each year, I would haphazardly cut it back so we could get in and out of the front door. And once I had finished, I would stand back and think, oh dear, I've done it again. I've gone too far. I've actually killed that rose. There is no way it's coming back from this. But each year, I am proved wrong. And in the early summer, it blooms and produces wonderful roses. Now, as I think of my random hacking can produce something so beautiful, how much more effective would it be, and how much more beautiful, how much more fruitful would it be in the hands of a skilled gardener? And third and final action the gardener does in the passage, though, is mentioned in verse 6. Here the gardener finds the branches that are dry and withered, branches that are separated from the vine, branches that, as they have become disconnected from the goodness of the vine and the life that provides, have slowly dried up, shriveled and died. Now these branches are the one that the gardener chooses to gather and collect, and they are burned in the fire. So what does all of this tell us of the character of God, the divine gardener? Most of you are probably ahead of me, but I'll go back through them in reverse order. Jesus clearly says that he is the vine and his Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine that provides the goodness and the nourishment to the branches. And the branches need to remain attached to the vine, or they will wither and die. Many places, both in the Old and New Testament, there are prophecies of judgment that will come on those who don't follow God. These are the dry and withered branches, as they have not remained in the vine. God will gather these branches, and his judgment will be on them. The only reason that we are not one of those branches is through the nourishing grace of Jesus, the true vine. It's nothing to do with what we have done, how much we have tried to bear fruit. If we are separate from the love of the true vine, the nourishment of the Holy Spirit, we will become dry, brittle, and the judgment that we deserve will be on us. We must remain in the vine. As a branch in its own, we are useless, fruitless and barren, and we will be collected up and burned in the fire. But what of the branches that remain in the vine? Some translations use the word abide here. Well, as we receive the nourishment of the grace and the love of the true vine, when we abide in Jesus, entwined in him, we will bear fruit. But God, as the wise and skillful gardener, may come along at certain seasons, and knowing what is best for us, will prune our branch. In first century Israel, the gardener used a knife and carefully examined and cut away some of the shoots of new growth that come in the spring. Now this process in the short term seems harsh and can be painful. We may feel pain as God trims these new shoots. But these shoots can be pruned for two reasons. In Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, it also talks of the sinful nature. And sometimes God comes along and prunes areas where we are bearing fruits of the sinful nature. Things like selfish ambition or envy. Now this pruning can hurt when God says these things are of your desire, not mine. But he says, I have better things for you. It can hurt when God trims that bud back and says, find your peace in me, not in what others think of you. Other example of fruits of the sinful nature are discord and jealousy. These things are not of God. He wants to cut them back. The list goes on. We can look it up in Galatians 5. God, the expert gardener, sees that these things will not bear good fruit. And even though it hurts, he knows that the fruit will grow, will have the bitter taste of the fruits of human desire and imperfections. But as well as these bitter shoots, sometimes God trims back other buds that we think are good. The new venture that you truly believe is from God. The venture that is good and wholesome and seems right. The prayer that seems to go unanswered for such a long time. The prayer you feel aligns with God's will and you don't understand. Now, I don't really want to stumble clumsily over this part, and I don't understand the hurts and disappointments that you may have suffered and borne in life. But I'm not saying these are all from God. But we only see it from our perspective. We only feel it from the perspective of the branch. Sometimes it is God pruning that branch that is fruitful, carefully tending the new shoots. And with the wisdom and experience of the gardener. However, when we look from God's perspective, he is saying, don't look at what you think you have lost, but at this point, draw deep on the vine for nourishment. Draw deep on the grace, the love, the care of Jesus. With any pruning, God knows that come harvest, the fruit you will bear will be sweeter, more abundant, more colourful, and altogether better. The nutrients won't be spread too thin, and the quality of the fruit will be beyond compare. If we can draw deep during the time of pruning, then when we reach the time of harvest, we will see that God is good and he loves us. And how do we draw deep? Well, God simply asks us to remain in the vine. He has promised that he will send the Spirit, the Comforter. And if we remain in the true vine and take our pain to him, he understands and he knows what we ask before we ask it. And he wants what he wants is that we abide, that we remain in him. And finally, to those branches that God lifts up, the branches that are not yet bearing fruit. Through the histories of the Old Testament and through the sacrifice of the New Testament, God is saying, I am the God of second chances. I am the God of rebellion, reconciliation, forgiveness, and renewal. I am the God who sweeps the room to find the lost coin, the God who leaves the 99 to find the lost sheep, the God who returns to meet the lost son and celebrate that he has returned. These branches, although not bearing fruit, God gently lifts up and brings back to the trellis. He checks that they are remaining in the vine and they are receiving their nourishment from Jesus and gently restores them to the place where they should be. He lifts them closer to the sun and allows them to become aired by the wind and tends them. Then when harvest comes, he rejoices in the fruit they produce. And he looks forward not just to this season, to the harvest that is to come, but to the harvest after that. As with the lost son, we must recognize our faults and turn from our own ways and take steps back to him. But like the Father, he sees us coming from far off and runs to meet us. Through what Jesus has done, he puts the best robe on us and says, you are found. We have to take the first steps, but we know he is waiting for us. So in closing, what does God ask of us? He asks us to remain in the vine, or as I've mentioned, to abide. Now, abide in many parts of the country is maybe seen as an old-fashioned word, but fortunately, in Aberdeenshire, bide is still in common usage. Even at this time, we are told to bide him save lives and save the NHS. Now, abide, I feel, is a stronger word here than remain. If we go to the New King James Version, it uses the word abide 10 times in the 13 verses. Jesus says, abide in me 5 times. He says, abide in the vine. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is what Jesus wants us to do if we are to bear fruit. Abide in him. But how do we do that? By spending time with him in prayer and in his word, and listening to his voice. Setting aside that time each day, whatever you call it, where you meet with God. Now, I was lent a little book as I was preparing for this. And you might have noticed I've shifted slightly in the room, because when I got to this point, I went to reach for it and I couldn't find it. However, I have it now. It's simply called Abide, and I'd like to read a little bit from it to you just now. It was written by an American pastor in 1977, and is a simple book on the secret of Christian living. And he says, the secret of living is fruit bearing, and the secret of fruit bearing is abiding. What is the secret of abiding? It is obeying. Give God your will. What is the secret of obeying? It is loving. Give God your heart. What is the secret of loving? It is knowing. Give God your mind. So if you're watching today and you feel that you're the branch that has been pruned and cleaned, and if you're feeling the hurt of those new cuts, and maybe you're wondering what is going on, abide in the vine. Draw your strength from Jesus. Secure in the knowledge that you are cherished part of the vine. Know that your healing, strength and growth come from Jesus, and God wants you to produce bountiful fruit. Or maybe you're the branch that has slipped from the vine. You feel that you're trailing in the ground, ignored and fruitless. Trust that God wants to restore you. He's waiting gently to lift you up, nurture you and care for you, so that you'll be fruitful in the future. Abide in the vine and you will bear fruit. Or maybe you don't feel connected to the vine at all. Maybe you feel withered and dry, or maybe you've never been connected. Don't wait until it is too late. God says, come to me and I will graft you into the vine, and you will abide there. You will remain in Jesus and you will bear fruit. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the gardener and we are the branches. Lord, you long for us to bear fruit. That is what you want. That is the purpose of the gardener. Lord, thank you that if we abide in the vine, if we stay in Jesus, then we will be fruitful. No matter if we have just been pruned or we have been lifted up. And Lord, we thank you that as the careful gardener, if we are dry and withered and not part of your vine, that you can graft us back in. Because your desire is for us to abide, is for us to remain in Jesus, so that we will bear fruit in abundance. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.